Real talk.
Alright y'all, it's the iTunes Street Official Real Talk Podcast. We're about to have some fun with Black History Month, but before we get into that, I want to let y'all know, if you want to get to me, you can hit me at realtalk@apple.com. You want to send me fan mail, you want to send me comments, you want to let me know you got a hot joint you want me to play on Real Talk, you got something you want me to feature on the iTunes Hip Hop or R&B page, get at me, realtalk@apple.com.
Street Official Real Talk.
All right, y'all, we're back, and you know we're doing the Black History Month special. This is iTunes Street Official Real Talk, and I got somebody today that, you know, again, sometimes I have conversations with folks that I think is just so necessary and needed, and today I'm speaking to someone that has absolutely dedicated his life to fairness for people in general, and there's too many categories for me to just name a few things to describe this person. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? It's going to be a treat today.
Oh, Cornell West, my dear brother, and it's a blessing to be in dialogue with you, reflecting on Black history and the dignity and determination of a downtrodden people to make a difference in the world, and what a difference we have made.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dr. West, is definitely a pleasure. And you know, before we get into Black History Month, you know, I want to talk about a few different things here, because, you know, your works and your life has always been dedicated, you know, around the acknowledgement of Black people and fairness for all people. Because, I mean, the acknowledgement and fighting for fairness is really not necessarily trying to take something from someone else, but just trying to level the playing field so that we all have an equal opportunity and chance
Absolutely.
To do things.
Well, at the deepest level, it's just a fundamental affirmation of the humanity of Black people. And anytime you affirm the humanity of Black people, you're affirming in the end the humanity of each and every one of us. But we're dealing with a vicious legacy of white supremacy where that humanity has been radically called into question, be it overtly or covertly. And so what we're actually doing is saying, you know what? We are a human race. We're in it together, but we got a history of slavery. We got a history of Jim Crow, Jane Crow. We got a history of degradation and being demeaned. And at the same time, we have a history of resisting it.
There's a few things I want to discuss with you. And the first thing I want to talk to you about, though, is I want to talk to you about Never Forget, A Journey of Revelations. And what is that project all about?
Well, brother, I tell you, I was very blessed to have the genius with Prince, the late, great Gerald Levert, Jill Scott, M1 of Dead Prez, KRS-One, Rod Digger. I mean, there's so many towering artists who were able to come along with me on this journey. With Mike Daly and Cliff West, myself, Black Men Who Mean Business, this is our third album. And what we're trying to do is present a danceable education to the younger generation so they could be connected to the rich legacy of the Curtis Mayfields and the other towering figures who always connected the spiritual to the social and the personal to the political, my brother. That hip-hop can, in fact, be a force for good in a fundamental way if it's connected to the best of the past.
And Dr. West, I want to ask you a question, too, as well. You know, and you know, I went through the album. I've listened to the album 3, 4, 5 times.
Oh, you listened to it, my brother? I appreciate that, man. You heard Talib Kweli and Black Thought and Rhyme Fest and all of them, huh?
Hey, it's...
Andre 3000, right on.
It's such a need, you know, right now, you know, considering how music has kind of changed, you know, the balance of actually saying who we are as people.
Absolutely.
You know, this was fresh air for me.
Wow, no, I appreciate that. The Soul Sister, when Brother Daryl Moore broke loose, the David Hollister took off and everything gonna be all right. People can see the variety, but also they see the depth of Black music. Because you see, for me, brother, Black music is the most important tradition in the modern world precisely because it provided the blues idiom of how do people persevere and persist in the midst of unbelievable catastrophic circumstances. And this is not just for black folk. All of us in the end meet various catastrophic circumstances. The death of a mother, the death of a father, fundamental breakup of a deep relationship, a loss of a job, and then the larger social crisis. So black folk in our music at the highest level, the Louis Armstrongs and the Sarah Vaughns and the John Coltranes and the Curtis Mayfields and Stevie Wonders, that we have vision and message for the world. And I oftentimes see us losing the connection to that tradition in the younger generation in hip-hop. So people say, oh, you old school, brother. Yes, I am old school. But at the same time, as KRS-One reminds me, he says, Brother West, you could be part of the hip-hop community because you're very much concerned with both the music and the culture. I say, yeah, if I could be the Stax Motown Philly Sound version of hip-hop, I'll take it.
I want to also address, you know, the co-stars on this album. It's just, it's fully rich. It's really rich. And, you know, well, Dr. West, I want to ask you a question, you know, and I'm going to start moving into some of our conversation about slavery. One of the things that you pointed out is, you know, the struggle that we've gone through as people. Is it, do you find that people don't even acknowledge that anymore? Black and white. That we,
oh, absolutely. I mean, people are in denial. They don't want to come to terms with it. They want to act as if the past is over, has nothing to do with the present, and that's precisely the naivete that gets us in trouble. That the three dimensions of time are always connected, the past, present, and the future. You can't conceive of a better future unless you understand the best of your past and use the best of your past as wind at your back in the present. And to think you can live only in the present is just to live in a hedonistic, materialistic moment that reproduces itself over and over again and ends up producing the spiritual malnutrition and moral constipation that constitutes so much of our culture these days, the emptiness of it when it comes to the soul. Where is the soul stirring taking place in contemporary culture and in contemporary music? I come from a tradition where Sam Cooke would stir your soul. Lou Rawls would stir your soul. Aretha stir your soul. Nina Washington stir your soul. Not just stimulate your body. I have nothing against stimulation of body, but there's so much stimulation the body can take. You know what I mean? I mean, the ultimate logic is just hooking up to an orgasm machine and having an orgasm for the rest of your life every minute. Hey, you got to stop for a little conversation. You got to stop to go to the funeral for your mama. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You got to have music that can sustain your soul, not just stimulate your body. And that's very much what we're about. And you notice when you look on the cover of our CD, brother, what do you see? Slave Ship Reserved for the Children, man.
That's right.
1862. We got that from the British Museum in London. You see those young, precious African brothers and sisters on their way to the New World, on their way to the Americas, man. And you say, you know what, when we look at that, on one hand we're depressed, yes, but on the other hand we are uplifted. Why? Because we were able to survive, and in surviving provide such grand gifts to the world. The gifts of the blues idiom, the gifts of unbelievable example of not just survival, but thriving under catastrophic circumstances. And you can't understand hip-hop without understanding rhythm and blues, understanding jazz, understanding spirituals, going all the way back to those slave ships, my brother.
Real talk. Real talk.
We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slang. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying your white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like
real
808.
Talk.
We stand over the Atlantic looking broad like a man's shoulders. Survivors trapped in the belly, ready to pop like hand soda. We outlasted the middle passage, touchdown in New York, Cincinnati. Big Ohio status, what you thought, money is classic. These bastards try to treat us like cattle, so life has been a constant battle. Rising above the crabs in the barrel, way too used to living in death's shadow. We stay on point like the best arrow. We hit the target accurate, star shit, back it up. When we hit town, y'all niggas pack it up. That's how we get down, straight smash it up like a whip. Hydroplaning, hydro in the brain and maintaining. Game changing into subtle shit, we remain great.
Real talk.
Real talk.
Dr. West, if you could, can you give us an idea of what slavery has meant to us as a people and also even the freedom that we enjoy today.
Well, you got to keep in mind, dude, that they didn't really free us, that we freed ourselves by presenting tremendous challenge and forcing the nation into a civil war, so they broke the back of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it wasn't a gift given. It was something achieved that we ourselves resisted with the slave insurrections and tremendous pressure on government, where finally it pushed the nation where it had to deal with slavery, and the nation decided to go to war over it, and 620,000 precious human beings were lost. But no, when you think about slavery, I think you got to think about two things, brother. First, slavery is a form of social death that black people have been on intimate terms with forms of death. It could be psychic or psychological in terms of dealing with who we are and dealing with self-hatred and self-doubt, or it could be civic death. And Jim Crow, you asked me about slavery, that was social death. Intimate terms with social death. Or another way of talking about it is, it was American terrorism, mm-hmm. to terrorize and niggerize the people to make them think they're so helpless and so hopeless and so scared and so intimidated that they're forced to work for free. They're forced to think lowly of themselves. That was the attempt to strip to ensure that we were not in touch with our humanity. But we resisted. So on the one hand, you got intimate terms with social death, intimate terms with American terrorism, but then the resistance to social death, the resistance to American terrorism, which is Harriet Tubman,
yes,
Sojourner
sir.
Truth, Frederick Douglass. We can go right down the line. And then the nameless folk, the folks whose names we've forgotten, but who resisted. And the spirituals was a form of resistance, right? We did not have the right to worship God without white supervision, so what did? We stole away in the creeks in the middle of the night. We had no religious liberty, but we stole away anyway, and we formed circles, we formed ring shouts, and created the spirituals. And, of course, those songs are being sung now and will be sung as long as human beings are around. That was a form of affirming our dignity, affirming our humanity in the face of social death, in the face of American terrorism. So that the black musical tradition has always been fundamental, indispensable for black people sustaining sanity and dignity, decency and humanity in the face of America's social death, American slavery, American terrorism, of which American slavery was a form of American terrorism. And so we have a message for the world, especially these days when everybody talking about terrorism. Lord have mercy, what did black people do in the face of terrorism? They resisted with dignity. To do what? To help sustain the American Democratic Project, but it was precisely at that time the narrow form of American democracy that was imposing white supremacist constraints on black people in the form of slavery. And we helped make American democracy democratic by our resistance.
When you think about slavery and mm-hmm. what was done to reshape our way of thinking, you know, to demean us, to, you know, that we pass something on for generations. What things do you look at now in the current state and say, this is still a direct result of the things that were done to us as a people?
Oh, I think at the psychological level, the levels of self-doubt, the levels of self-hatred, levels of self-destruction are still linked in a fundamental way. Because you see, once you really fundamentally niggerize a people, which is to say you try to convince them at the deepest level that they ought to live a life of not only fear, but a life of self-hatred, so that they will consent to their own oppression, so that they're actually not even critically reflect or critically resist their own oppression. They'll become so well-adjusted to injustice and become so well adjusted to the unjust status quo that they'll think that's the norm, you see. And we see that. I mean, we see it in the worst of hip-hop in terms of this image of the black man as a spiritual, predatory person obsessed with orgasm and hedonistic preoccupation. And you see the woman is just an object of sexual conquest, walk around with the J-string. Now, the thing is, I mean, you know, the bling-bling and the J-string, it has a long history, not just in the black community, but in communities across the board. But we also know it's a form of escapism, and it's a form of pacifying a people to such a degree that if you become obsessed with that, you won't understand who you are, you won't understand your history, you won't understand the struggle for freedom. And lo and behold, your conception of freedom become reduced to just orgiastic release rather than some kind of organizing and mobilizing. And Chuck D taught us this. KRS-One has taught us this. This is not new in hip-hop. But we know these days, Chuck D's sensibility is not predominant.
Real talk. Real talk. Real talk.
Got to have personal responsibility, political accountability, and corporate culpability.
Get up, 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 get up.
We must eliminate poverty. I don't care what color the person, a child.
Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up.
Real talk.
One of the meanest and the cleanest, and still I'm kinda fiendish when I'm at this. Been doing this for eons, peons best to catch this. Vision of excellence, precise rapping ability. About to make some dead presidents, macking a million G. The money though, it's got people acting funny, yo. As soon as some niggas get some light, they be like dummies, yo. Products and puppets and pawns, getting played out. When authentic niggas step up, respect be laid out. Major effect to your sector, I'm the corrector. Live and direct, waving my mic like a scepter. Supreme, exalted, universal leader, descendants of the kings and queens, the overseer.
Real talk. Real talk.
Well, you got to keep in mind that we got to keep track of both the dignity and the degradation. You had to keep track of the resistance as well as the domination. There was an attempt to break the spirit of black people, but they never did. What they did was economically exploit us. What they did was politically subordinate us. What they did was ensure that we were a source of free labor and try to convince us that we were not human. But in the end, we resisted. And that's the positive side of the story of slavery. That is to say, when in fact we broke the back of slavery with the Civil War, with the Union Army, no doubt, in which 200,000 black soldiers fought those last years to break the back of it, that torture that you talked about, the violence, that unbelievable set of scars and wounds that were there, were not allowed to be the last word, you see, and that's precisely why we are blues people. And by blues people, I'm always saying something positive, because we know the blues is not about being down and out. It's about resisting being down and out. That's why you're singing your song.
Yes, sir.
You might be singing about catastrophe, but your song is a resistance to the catastrophe. You see what I mean?
Yes,
sir. So it's uplifting. That's why the blues is uplifting, even though it's always about something that's very difficult and catastrophic in its own way. But we got to keep in mind, you know, the average slave lived to be 26 years old, brother.
Wow.
That's not that old.
Wow. I never knew that.
About why the spirituals talk about death all the time. Well, if you're gonna die by 26, you better go sing about some death. Because you ain't going to be around that long. You want to know what's going to happen after you die, because you're not living that long. So we're talking about disease. We're talking about rape of the women. Black women as sexual breeders to produce more children for labor. We're talking about children who were sold and sent to Alabama from North Carolina so that the parents couldn't stay in contact. All these talk these days about family values. Well, didn't have too many family values for black people during 244 years of slavery, right?
That's right.
That was precisely what we overcame, and we overcame it in such a way that we were able to send a message to the world so that white brothers and sisters say, my God, what a people, what a grand tradition. Listen to their music. It speaks to me, and I'm a white brother in New Hampshire because it's a human story.
Right.
It's a human story. Same is true in South Africa. Same is true in with Koreans in Japan. Same is true with Jews in Jew-hating Europe and so forth. These are human stories of dignity in the face of unbelievable domination. It's just that ours is an American story, brother.
And
that makes a difference, see, because America's told so many lies about itself.
That's right.
City on the hill, liberty, freedom. Well, for some, for others, it was slavery and domination and Jim Crow and torture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This is definitely a country of omission.
Oh, A lot of historical amnesia, as Brother Dyson puts it. Is absolutely right.
Yes, sir. And I want to ask you, you know, in saying that, you know, reparations, yay or nay?
Yes. Well, reparations about truth and justice, brother. Do we really want to know the truth about America in terms of the slavery? And if we conclude that it was unjust, I think we'd all agree it was profoundly unjust. Then usually when there's some injustice, you have some kind of repair.
Mm-hmm.
You have some kind of repair. How do you repair the injustice in that regard? And so that's the beginnings of the debate. In the end, reparations just about not just about money in any kind of narrow way.
Right.
People think it's just about transfer of money. All the people just want more cash, more cash. No, no, no. Reparations is about truth and justice. Is America willing to be truthful about itself?
Right.
If your founding fathers are talking about democracy, but 22% of the inhabitants of the 13 colonies are enslaved Africans, then your liberty doesn't apply to all. In fact, their slavery and their labor becomes a precondition for you talking about liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you wouldn't deal with the issue of slavery in the Constitution. You end up fighting over the institution of slavery in 1860s, but it's not even invoked in your Constitution. Because what? Because there's a conspiracy of silence. It was too embarrassing. It was too humiliating. It becomes hypocritical, not acknowledging it. Well, black folk were living it. So we have to speak the truth. The condition of truth is to allow the suffering to speak. And those suffering at that time were speaking deep truths that Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and the others didn't want to come to terms with. That's Frederick Douglass, brother. That's why he's one of the greatest figures in American history ever and always will be.
Real talk. Real talk.
Revolution requires participation. But sometimes people be hesitating. The government must respect the will of the people. The government serve the people. The people don't serve the government. Voter registration with no scope of education is a waste of time with no hope. It's just frustration. It ain't no choice when you're picking the voice of a nation. You're just contributing to the status quo's preservation. Plus, we ain't got no universal health care. Who the hell care about crack mothers and welfare? Listening to Dead Press, hell yeah, with Jay-Z verse. Thinking how we was snatched like old lady.
Real talk.
Real talk.
Real talk.
How's the cost of living? Take what I've been given. Pastor say, be strong. Ooh, yeah, I ain't got time, leave me alone.
Ain't that much time left, I've got to funk you now.
Real talk.
I just want to highly recommend Real Talk. Real Talk gets at the issues. Indeed, indeed. And my dear brother is facilitating this dialogue in a mighty way.
Street Official. Real Talk.